The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Text now to 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie.
Now, I'm putting a call out for parking meter attendance. If you man the Capel Street area, because you'll remember we had our numismatist in here last week, Michael Kelly. He's a guy who talks all about coins, and he values coins, and he auctions coins, and he collects coins, and he does all sorts of things with coins. In fact, what that man could do with coins would make your heart bleed. But at any rate, he gave me a coin when he's leaving the studio last week, and he said, put that somewhere safe. And I said, what is it? And he said to me, it's a 2 euro coin commemorating the proclamation of the Irish Republic 2016, 100 years ago. And on the front of it, it's your normal 2 euro coin. You can see the number 2, and you've got Europe. And then on the back, you've got Hibernia, the historic personification of Ireland, I suppose, on the roof of the GPO where it all happened. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll put that somewhere safe. And what did I do with it? I put it in my pocket, and then I'm parking the car in Capel Street, and I need coins. And without even thinking about it, I pop it into one of the meters on Capel Street. I just assumed that's what I did with it because I can't find it anywhere. So we got on to Michael wondering how much would that coin be worth in 10 years from now? Because I can tell you, the one he gave me was in mint condition. So we thought, have I given away an absolute fortune? And he says, if you have them, if you've already bought them, because you can get out and buy them if you want, face value 2 euro. He says that in 10 years' time, it'll be worth about 6 euro. That's all. In 20 years' time, a little bit more than that. And 30 years' time, maybe. And then 40 and on and on and on. Then we wondered, well, if Mary Robinson had lost it, you see, if her DNA was on the coin, would it be worth more? And he said, not particularly. And I said, okay, what about Bono? If Bono had lost it. And his answer was, well, if people had seen Bono putting the 2 euro coin into the parking meter, it might have attracted a few fans, a few onlookers, but that's about it. Nothing more than that. The Mustang Sally. It's all about the commitments this year, isn't it? Anyway, made famous by the 1991 movie The Commitments. That's if you don't remember that Wilson Pickett had a hit with it in 1966, and it was actually released a little bit before that. But if you remember the lineup, you had Andrew Strong there on lead vocals, and then sassying up the R&B sound, we had Angelina Ball, and then we had Maria Doyle Kennedy and Brona Gallagher, who I was delighted to say is in studio with me now. Brona, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming
you?
In. Now, tomorrow night you're going to be on telly with Nathan Carter.
We are indeed, yes.
So when did you record that?
About 6 weeks ago, out in Sligo. It was lovely.
Now, who was recording it? Is it you on your own, or what can we expect to see?
I had my lovely Cian Borland, who is with me in the studio today, my co-writer and co-producer, and Connor Brady playing guitar, who's our other co-writer, co-producer, and we played then with Nathan's band, and they were fantastic. We knew quite a lot of the guys, actually, from being around the block.
What did you sing?
I sang my single Crimes. Mm-hmm. From my recent album.
Are you going to sing that for us now later on?
No, we're going to sing another one.
Oh.
We're just going to, you know, mix it up.
Going to surprise me a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
And then we sang The Town I Love So Well with Nathan and Phil Coulter.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Absolutely
actually.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lovely.
What
night.
A lineup.
Very emotional. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
I bet it was
great,
too. Yeah.
Great night, great fun.
Yeah, of course, you're from Derry.
I am indeed.
From the bog side.
I am indeed.
But you've been kind of a long time out of it, I suppose.
I moved kind of away when I was about 17. Sort of Dublin, really, was the next stop. But I'm back regular, and my family are still there.
They're
so
still there, are they? Oh, so God, you visit a lot, do you?
Oh, I do indeed.
Do you have a gig up there?
Oh, we do indeed. We did the Millennium Forum there this year and played the Coulterland and Sandino's. And we had a lovely gig then in the Orchard Hall as well, St. Columb's Hall. I have a gig away up there, but do indeed.
And are you the most famous woman ever to come out of the Bogside, would you say?
I don't know about that. There's plenty of
that was a hard thing to throw
at
you.
Plenty of famous women that come out of the box, eh, for different reasons.
But I mean, you had the commitments, and that was so early on in your career.
I suppose it wasn't a very popular, you know, occupation, being a singer and an actress back then. Yes, no. I suppose. But obviously, you've Dana, and you've a lot of other great actresses coming into Derry now.
So you mentioned Dana. You never thought about the Eurovision Song Contest, did you?
I never did. They never asked me.
Whether they asked you or not, did you ever think about it?
I didn't actually know, but I loved it when you were a kid. You loved it, you know, and it was great to sort of see people doing well from the city. And of course, the Undertones, they were the sort of main export from the city. But yeah, you know, it's good. I love it. I love Derry.
So it's hard to believe it's 1991, 25 years ago, that The Commitments was released.
Yep, it was. It's crazy. Mm. It's like a blink of an eye.
And have you seen the actual musical itself on stage?
I haven't seen it actually, but I was invited to it, but I couldn't go.
I should hope so.
It's the opening night
over in London, was it?
The one in Dublin, actually. Yeah, but I wasn't able to go. But yeah, apparently it was great. It's done very well. Thank you.
And was there a particular reason why you didn't go?
I was up in Derry, actually, and I was working on a single for the Foyle Hospice, which I'm a patron of, with a lot of different schools and stuff. So the availability just didn't work that week because we have 34 children singing on the record to raise money for the Foyle Hospice.
Oh, wow.
So it was a lot of scheduling.
That is a fantastic cause.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Because
yeah,
I do quite
a bit
for Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross myself.
So it was great. Now, so we're going to release that next week to raise money for the hospice.
Yeah, I always say about the hospice, they don't just care about you, they care for you.
Oh, absolutely. No, they're extraordinary set up in Derry, and they're only like 20%.
Did you have any family members in there?
Thank God, no. I have a close friend of the family, but not immediate family. Unfortunately, most friends and family that you have in Derry will have somebody next to, you know, close to them that has been through the hospice doors, but no, thankfully not so far with my own immediate family.
So I believe you're just back from making a movie.
Yes,
another one, because you've been in quite a few. Mm-hmm. People will probably know or not know you were in Star Wars.
I was, yeah.
You were in that movie, which dare not speak its name from my mouth. I hated it, I have to say. I found it really traumatic to watch it. You know the one?
Oh, Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin
movie.
Tarantino.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's very traumatic.
I found that very disturbing.
It says a very, very dark subject matter.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Come on, Ashkelly.
But I've been working away and I do a lot of theatre as well and stuff. And I recently was in New York and Berlin. We did the new Colm Tobin film, Return to Montauk. So it was a wonderful experience.
What's
really
it called?
Great. Return to Montauk.
What's it about?
It's a love story between Stellan Skarsgård. He's the lead male, and the female is lovely German actress Nina Hoss. And it's about basically old love being revisited. And is it these pipe dreams that we have in our hearts and minds about going back to the love of our life, when you actually maybe rekindle that love up, was it really what it was meant, you know? Was it really worth all the hassle and all the sort of remembering? So it's about unrequited.
And are you the love interest? Are you?
No, I'm her best friend.
Oh, you're the love interest, best friend.
And Nina Hoss, the lovely German actress, I'm her best friend. She's the lead.
And when is it going to be out? Do we know?
Next year. I don't know exactly when, but it's just, they're literally just making the sort of final edit on now, so it'll be next.
So you've been kept very busy doing that, and you're singing as well, because I know you kind of manage yourself and you write your own stuff and you sing your own. You're a one-woman rolling band.
Yeah, we have a third album just came out there in May, Gather Your Greatness, and we've been touring that a lot this year now, and we've had a few other gigs coming up now, November, December. So yeah, been hard at it, hard work, but it's great work and we love it.
It is hard work,
yeah,
because one band kind of had to pack it in there due to financial...
Yeah, I was very sorry to hear that, Fighting Like Apes.
Fighting Like Apes. They're gone now, aren't they?
It's a hard thing to keep going, Derek. You know, you really have to just try and constantly put money back into the pot and, you know, touring a band, paying for a band, looking after a band. It's all expenditure going out. So you have to try and make sure that you're getting covered every gig. And some gigs you don't, some gigs you do.
Because it's your own record label, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the name of the label?
Salty Dog Records.
Salty Dog?
Yeah.
Why is it Salty Dog?
Do you know, it was actually a line from Kill Bill that the sheriff comes in when Uma's got, what they think she's been murdered, and she's not, she's still alive. The sheriff comes in and says to his son, this ain't the work of no amateur. This is the work of a salty dog.
Yeah.
That is what a great line, salty dog.
So that's the name of your own label. So now, normally, if you were getting a record deal with a record label, they put up a certain amount of money. So you hear somebody's just got 20 million or 30 million, but actually they've got to work that off. Isn't that the way it is?
Well,
they've got to make
back.
The album.
Yeah,
you owe
I mean,
it back.
You don't,
got to make the albums, doing the touring, paying for all of the promotion, paying for all the staff around you, paying for the travel, all that kind of stuff. So now you actually have to put up all that money yourself, or is it? So do you actually set aside a certain amount of money for an album? and say, this is how much
you
money we're going to set
cost,
against that.
And then you just take every job that you can to pay for it.
You're not getting paid for this.
I don't know. No, you just have to
But
keep
you have to promote
it,
don't you? You have to
you
be
have to
there.
Promote it and you have to keep promoting it. I mean, you know, nowadays record companies, maybe they would see a record over after like a year. And if it doesn't hit a certain sale mark on the first sort of 3 months, then, you know, that's trouble. And the band are then owing the money back that they've spent
on. Well,
look at
X Factor. I mean, all the money is spent on making the TV programme and making all the judges look fantastic and fabulous. And a few quid is spent on the acts. And then you have a winner. And that's it. I mean, if they don't hit the mark with that album, it's a single, it's gone.
It's that
they get a kind of one album deal, I think, the way it is now.
I'm not sure. Actually, they've gone through that entire process.
They've been on television for weeks on end. Everybody knows they're a household name. Their old career is gone and they're out there in the limelight. Their whole personal life's gone over in the newspapers. Then, boom, it's gone.
If it doesn't work for them. I mean, it's obviously, you know, I think as long as, you know, they're writing their own songs and they're, you have good managers that aren't maybe, you know, just trying to make money out of them, then yes. But, you know, you can also have a wonderful life. I mean, look at that One Direction. Who would have ever seen that?
They've done really well, yeah.
They really have.
And Jedward.
Look at Jedward as well. You know, there's a market for all entertainment, yeah. But, I mean, One Direction, It's
an extraordinary success story, isn't it, really?
Crazy, yeah.
So listen, I know you're going to sing for us now. So let me give the dates of where you're going to be while you're getting set up. If you want to go up to the microphone as you're here live in the person, then you might introduce your colleague on keyboards as well.
On the piano.
And let me tell everybody where they can catch up with Brona. The latest album is called Gather Your Greatness and it is out now. Where can people get their hands on it?
They can get it in all good record shops.
And online as well,
and online as well, yes. And we have a lovely vinyls as well. You can get it from my shop.
You've got vinyl? Where have you got a shop?
On my website.
Oh, on your website. Yeah. You don't have a physical shop that we can go into and see. That would be
Brona
the idea.
Galga shop.
You can catch Brona on the Nathan Carter Show tomorrow night in RT at 9:30 p.m. And if you'd like to see Brona live, upcoming performances include Vicar Street in Dublin on Tuesday 29th November, where you're playing support to Glenn Hanser.
Yes, indeed.
There you go, another commitments mate.
Yes.
And then on Friday 9th of December at the Empire Music Hall in Belfast. And then on the 10th of December back to Dublin, the Grand Social.
That's
on the 10th of December. All of those details are in on our website, rte.ie/money. Brona, take it away.
Thank you very much. Can't hear me calling, gonna disappear. Check tonight, here's a bad idea. Love is all about the heart, doesn't matter about the form it takes. So I went running and I knew your name. Ran like a bullet, got me on the plane. Came through one storm and another. You were waiting like I knew you'd be. No escaping, you believe it's wrong. Felt like forever, not that broken home. From where I'm standing, you're the only light I see. Out here, baby, with a tender heart. Senses overload and leave their mark. Can you hear me? Baby, can you hear me? Here, baby, there's no one I know. Feel compassion, that's the way I'm told. Can you hear me? Baby, can you hear me? Pick the pieces up, I'll shine them bright. Let's line the little nest we made in our heart. No interest in the day. Wishing it away to be with you. Make that painting of us in the night. Hide in the churchyard, live under that starlight. Where the true believers came and laid their stones. No escaping, you believe it's wrong. Feel like forever, not that broken home. From where I'm standing, you're the only warmth I feel. Baby with the tender heart.
compassion, that's the way I'm told. Can you hear me? Baby, can you hear me? Here comes the morning light, I don't want to see it. Here comes that line again, and I don't want to hear it. What's it gonna take for you to make the train? Come on home to me. Oh, honesty's the only way. Don't disappear, cause that'll break me. Takes a lot for me to fall, but oh, you got me shaking, baby. Waking in the night, wondering what I did. You're not next to me. Senses overload and leave their mark. Can you hear me? Baby, can you hear me? Out here, baby, there's no one I know. Feel compassion, that's the way I'm told. Can you hear me? Baby, can you hear me? Out here, baby, with the tender heart. Senses overload and leave their mark. Can you hear me? Baby, 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 can you hear me?
Absolutely wonderful, Bronagh. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank you very much.
And to remind people again, if you'd like to see Bronagh, you can catch her tomorrow evening at 9:30 on the Nathan Carter Show. You can see her in the person. And I'm just thinking how, well, actually, everybody will know what you look like, but how different you look today to how you looked 25 years ago. Your hair is completely different. Yeah, but the face is exactly the same, and the body and the physique is exactly the same. Nothing has changed. Do you still see the girls, by the way?
I could do, of course. We're all the best of friends, aye.
Yeah.
See them all regular, aye.
Do they all go to the opening night?
No, they didn't.
Would you think it'd be very critical if you went to see it?
Not at all. We'd be delighted. Not at all. It's, you know, it's someone else's work. We were just performers.
And no chance of a revival at all?
I wouldn't think so. Everybody's doing their own thing, you know. Because we had a great 5 years ago with a great reunion at the O2 here. We did a few of the stadiums in England. But, no, we're all that, you know, doing our own thing and our own music. But
you're happy.
Very proud of it. No, we're all very proud of it.
Well, listen, we're very proud of you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And those details of the gigs on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Just let me tell you what the prize is for today's quiz. We're going to be sending the winner and a friend for a stay at the Flynn family-owned Park Hotel in Dungarvan. Nice place. The prize can be used on selected dates in November or December. Now, that's good and includes two nights B&B with one dinner on one evening for two people. It's all to celebrate Flynn Hotel's Christmas 3 package of two nights bed and breakfast, dinner on one evening and a third night free, available at any of the four Flynn hotels. And to find out more, just visit our website. We'll have a link onto theirs. All right, so if you're interested in taking part in the quiz today, text in now to 51551 or email Mooney at rte.ie.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's a dry, sunny Saturday morning as we strut along the streets en route to Pioneer Plaza, where the city's origin and early settlers are commemorated. The park features native plants, a flowing stream, and a recreation of a cattle drive in larger-than-life bronze with longhorn steers being driven by three cowboys on horses. Now, who's written all that stuff? Oh, it's Eddie Rowley from the Sunday World. And in tomorrow's Sunday World magazine, you'll see a picture of myself in a Stetson sitting on a saddle. Oh my God, I look ridiculous on the cover. And then there's a big article inside because we were making a documentary about Robert Mazel, the country singer, which you can hear on RT Radio 1 over the Christmas period. And it is absolutely fascinating. Robert goes back because he's actually from a place called Shreveport in Louisiana. He came here, God knows how many years ago, don't want to give his age away, but more than two decades ago, and has been here ever since. And the one thing he never really did when he was growing up in Louisiana in Shreveport was sing. And Louisiana is famous for singers. It's the kind of the place, one of the places, next to Nashville. But at any rate, we went back there to make a documentary series with him, which you can hear on RT Radio 1, and it was in association with the Sunday World. So while we were there, we did a little feature, which is in tomorrow's magazine of the Sunday World, all about Dallas. So if you're looking for a place to go maybe on holidays next year, you might consider that. Now, Daily Mail agony aunt Belle Mooney knows a thing or two about heartache, and not just from the letters she receives from readers. She suffered a terrible bereavement with the stillbirth of one of her children, and her 35-year marriage to television journalist Jonathan Dimbleby broke down following his affair with opera singer Susan Chilcott. Despite those experiences, she was not prepared for the massive impact that the death of her Maltese dog Bonnie would have on her. In her new book, Goodbye Pet and See You in Heaven, a memoir of animals, love and loss, she says that it's not silly to grieve for a pet like a loved one. I spoke to Belle Mooney during the week when she popped into the BBC studios in Bath.
I live 6 miles outside Bath, and this is the centre of the universe, apart from Dublin, of course.
Yeah, well, Dublin's the capital of the world, as you probably
Dublin.
Know. I'm sure you've been here tons of times, have you?
I love Dublin. Dublin was where my great-grandfather was born.
Oh, I see.
Great-grandfather Mooney, he was a carter. And then he moved to Liverpool, like so many people did. And, of course, my granddad was born in Liverpool. And my granddad used to say, all those Mooney's pubs in Dublin, they should have been ours. I know. I like the name. It's, well, it's different, isn't it? Well, it's different if you're in England. And lots of Mooney's in Ireland, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere you look. Go around a corner. I'm not responsible for any of them, I can assure you. Anyway, we're going to talk about your new book, Goodbye Pet and See You in Heaven,
yes.
A memoir of animals, love and loss. Tell me all about it.
Well, what happened was in 2002, mm-hmm. I adopted a rescue dog from the RSPCA Cat and Dogs Home in Bath. She was a little white fluff ball, and I called her Bonnie. And she was at my side for nearly 14 years, and I just loved that dog. And then last November, coming up to a year ago now, November the 4th, she died of a heart murmur and old age. I mean, she was getting on for 14. And I was absolutely desolate. Now, anybody listening to this will know when you've got a dog and your dog gets old, or a cat, mind you, people mm-hmm. love their pets. You know, you start to think, well, I'm going to prepare for this, you know. And I thought, I'm an advice columnist in the Daily Mail. I'm in touch with my feelings. I advise people on bereavement, including pet bereavement. I've had letters about it. I know how I'm going to feel. I didn't, Derek. I was knocked sideways with grief. And I couldn't. I had to work. But a few weeks afterwards, one of my colleagues on the Mail said, you know, I think you should write about it. I said, I don't want to. But then a little bit after that, I thought, I do want to. I want to talk about these feelings because that's my stock in trade, you know, talking about feelings. So I wrote a piece. And of course, you can guess what I'm going to say. The response was enormous.
Mm.
All of readers writing to me about
people
how
love
much
their
they
pets.
Love. They love their pets. And then how full of grief they were afterwards. And then, even more than that, how they felt that other people don't get it. They think it's silly. It's only a dog. It's only a cat. You know, it's not like a human. Of course, it's not like a human. So they felt almost ashamed of going on grieving. And it was at that point that my publisher said to me, do you know what, Belle? I think you should write a book because I think, A, you'll tell your own story. B, it might help people. And that was the genesis of the book.
Bonnie was a rescue dog. Do you know the background, the history to Bonnie?
She was left tied to a tree in a park in Bath. We got lucky, both of us, Bonnie and I, because we fell in love with each other.
Why do you think that happened?
There was something about this little creature who was like a baby. Now, here's another. That's an interesting area, isn't it? You know, I was mummy. I mean, I bet there's lots of women listening to this who they say, come to mummy, if it's their little dog, you know, or big dog. Doesn't matter, you're mummy. That's not stupid. That's just how we are with our pets. But maybe that my kids had grown up and left home. So maybe this was another little baby coming my way. Do you know what I mean? So there is that. I can't explain it. There's some things. I'm sure you're a rationalist, Derek.
Well,
there are some things which are beyond.
I have a rash at the moment.
They're beyond explanation.
But I mean, I wonder where the other dogs, somebody else's dogs, you mentioned your ex-husband. So had it to do with that you didn't love them as much as Bonnie was a new start? Bonnie was Bonnie a replacement? I mean, if somebody wrote you a letter like this, you'd be addressing it. You know, is the dog a replacement for my former lover, for my previous husband, my previous wife? You know, that's the kind of letter you might get, actually.
Yeah, no, because,
so I'm asking you now, was it a replacement for Jonathan Dimbleby?
No, because he loved her too. So it was a year later that he left. So now and then I have a new husband and he loved her too. She was a very lovable dog. That's what she was. No mystery to that. She was lovable. Everybody loved her. And of course she became a famous dog because I wrote 6 children's books inspired by her. Big Dog Bonnie, Bad Dog Bonnie, Best Dog Bonnie. And, you know, so she, and I used to, there was a time when I would go through the bath and I'd hear little children go, "There's Bonnie," which is very sweet. And I had a business card made for her, which was obviously marketing because it had the books listed on it, you know. But children love to get this card with a picture of Bonnie on it. And then my first memoir was called A Small Dog Saved My Life. And that was about my divorce. And it was all about how dogs really do see you through bad times. And so, you know, Bonnie was my inspiration as well as my little friend.
People often say that if they have a pet, if they have a dog and they're going for a walk, it's a great way of starting a conversation.
Ah, they're the best. They're the just best, these animals. They have so much to teach us. And, I mean, Bonnie set me on that learning curve. And as I explain in the book, I'm still learning. And I believe we have an enormous amount to learn from animals. And in our human arrogance, we shut that off, that knowledge. But I'm open to it and I owe it all to Bonnie.
So that time when you were told that Bonnie had a heart murmur, what was that like for you? Was it very difficult?
Well, I said, I remember having my public voice on. I have a public voice. You're listening to it now. It's very calm. But in the privacy of the vet's room, I don't need to use a public voice. But I said to the vet, very calmly, "Well, I realise I have to start preparing for the end of her life." And she said, "Yes, it's a difficult one for people." And we smiled at each other and I was very calm. So I picked up Bonnie. Shaking as she was. She didn't like going to the vet. Who does, you know? I mean, I don't like going to the vet.
Dogs don't like it at all.
No, they don't.
They
I
sense
put her in
it.
The car and I started blubbing quietly in the car, you know. But then I thought, no. Got medicine. She's going to be all right. She's good for another 2 years. But that wasn't to be. But the thing was that when the end came, it came so quickly and at home and in my arms, I couldn't have wished for a better end for my little babe. You know, it was just wonderful.
You were there when she took her last breath, quite literally.
She literally took her last breath and I was talking to her and there's this really touching thing happened. Obviously, I was crying. I was all alone because my husband was away. And tears were, something made me just put my fingers up to my tears and put them on her tongue. Her tongue was lolling out, she was still alive, and she drew her little tongue back into her mouth. So the last thing she tasted were my tears. I found that very consoling. She knew. I'm going to start crying in a minute.
That's okay.
But at that very last moment, I was able to say to her, "You have to go now. You have to rest. You don't have to stay for me," I told her. And she died.
And you dealt with death in the past. You had a stillborn child.
I had a stillborn son in 1975. And, he had coming up to November. He'd been 41 this November. And I do in my book sort of slightly collate the stories in a strange sort of way because I make the point that when an animal dies, the rest of the world may not understand, as all those readers found when they wrote to me. Now, if a human dies, people may shy away from the grief, but they do get it because that's within the compass of their experience, perhaps, or their imagination. But perhaps an animal isn't. But I said to myself, here I am grieving for this dog. And it feels like I grieved for the stillborn child. I never saw, I never held. Because they didn't in those days, you know. It was common now. The way of treating bereaved parents of stillborn children is very different, but not in 75. And I thought, well, I had 9 months with that baby in my womb, and I grieve for that baby boy. Well, I still do. That never goes away, and it never will go away. I carry the torch for that baby. But when my little dog died, I felt similar feelings. Now, they have not lasted so long, and nor should they. But for many people for whom an animal companion is their soul companion, I have a family, I have grandchildren. So when that animal dies, that is family, that is their family gone. And I think we, the world, has to understand that, how great it is. And I have understood it because of Bonnie.
Do you dream about Bonnie in the same way you would dream about a person who had passed away? I mean, I ask this to people because I know when my brother and my mother passed, I dreamt about both of them. I'm wondering, though, did you dream about Bonnie?
I had, yeah, it was this extraordinary night not long before Christmas. And I woke at 4 a.m. having had this amazing dream, so vivid. Bonnie was talking to me, and she was large. Now, this dog was like a sort of animated powder puff, you know, it was tiny. But in the dream, she was big, like a sort of Great Dane or something, but fluffy. And she told me to donate to an animal rescue centre in Somerset, where I live, about an hour and a half from where I live. Now, this rescue centre is for animals in general, and I have been in touch with it years before, but not for 4 years. Why this should come into my mind, I do not know. I didn't get Bonnie from there or anything. The dream was so vivid that I got up at 4 a.m, a cold December morning, put my dressing gown on, went downstairs into the unheated house, wrote a cheque and wrote a letter to the animal centre. Had to look up the name of the woman who I'd met before. Sent a Christmas card saying that Bonnie had died, and that I wanted to donate this money for the care of the animals over Christmas, and I wrote a cheque for £300. Went back to bed and went to sleep and felt better. And the extraordinary thing was that because of that dream, they knew my dog has died. And about 3 weeks later, I had an email from the woman. She'd already thanked me for the donation, saying she knew it was too soon, but there was this little tiny dog who desperately needed a home. And I looked at the picture of Bonnie I have on my wall, and I thought, I think you led me to this dog. That dream led me to this dog. So we went to see the little dog, and I looked at my husband, he looked at me. It was too soon. But hey, this little creature needed all, and the love, you know, the love that was awoken by Bonnie, it was still there, all swirling around. It needed somewhere to go. So we gave the dog a home. And she's called Sophie. Anybody listening who has a dog will know that your dog gives you everything you want. So when you're down, your dog makes you smile. Even if you're really seriously down, like I was at the end of my first marriage, if you need exercise, your dog makes you go out. And so on. I mean, if you need something to cry on, you can cry on your dog, and the dog will understand. So, yes, the dog in a way does reflect back the best side of yourself. I really firmly believe that.
Where is Bonnie now, do you think?
Bonnie's ashes are beneath 6 white rose trees planted in her memory, beautiful scented roses, in my special garden. And they're also inside a paperweight, which I had made with her ashes in, which sits on my desk. So she swirls in this amazing turquoise blue, like looking into the eddies of the ocean or the Milky Way. Just beautiful. I wanted to do something with her ashes. I didn't want her in the ground. And I find consolation in the white roses, and I find consolation in the paperweight. My book title is Goodbye, Pet, and See You in Heaven. Now, the goodbye is the sad bit, and the see you in heaven, well, that's the interesting, hopeful, and contentious bit, because some people believe dogs have an afterlife. I don't know is the answer to that.
So do you think you're going to heaven? That's where you're going to meet Bonnie again, because that's what your book is all about, do you think?
No. You know, some people think that, and I think if it gives you consolation, and a lot of people do think that they will meet their pet again. How lovely. And, oh, I would love to be surprised and have Bonnie bounding towards me. I can't think of anything more wonderful. But she's always bounding in my head, so that's fine. I don't feel I need that, Derek. I don't feel. But I think that when people do need it, if people want to believe that they will see their animal in an afterlife, I think that's absolutely wonderful. I actually don't, and I don't feel a need. But I'm open to surprise.
Well, it's a wonderful read, and I'm sure there'll be thousands of people very interested in having a look. It's called Goodbye Pet and See You in Heaven, a memoir of animals, love and loss by Belle Mooney. It's published by Biteback and costs around €15. Belle, thank you very much indeed for talking to me today.
It was lovely talking to you. Bye-bye.
It was very interesting talking to Belle Mooney, and I know a lot of people, because I made programs with vets over the years, apart from just the wild animals, with domestic animals out at the Brave Vet with Andrew Byrne and Pete Wedderburn. And people, I haven't had a pet myself since I was a kid because I'm never there. So I think it would be very unfair to have a pet and not be there to look after the pet. Hence the reason I don't have one. And I wouldn't want one that's in a cage or swimming around in a bowl. I'd probably want a dog. I wouldn't want a small dog, I'd want a big dog. But people, you know, like different types of animals for different reasons. But I can understand totally why people would be upset and distraught when their pet dies. Paul in Whitehall has been on to say, Derek, I'm like your lady guest. I'm very distraught hearing her story about her Bonnie. My best friend Lucy is a rescued Tibetan Spaniel Cross who's a cancer patient in remission. Lucy is asleep on my bed and I'm in floods of tears listening to your guest, says Paul in Whitehall. And I'm sure Paul is not alone. Anyway, you can get in touch with us. You can email mooney at rte.ie or you can text 51551. I was thinking about FIFA's ruling. Have you heard about this ruling? You know, no symbols, no religious symbols or anything like that. And they're getting all high and mighty. Yeah, it was, what did they say? Yeah, no team is allowed to display political, religious or commercial symbols on their kit under the ruling. You see, FIFA have banned players from wearing poppies on their kits this England match. There's a whole controversy. And then in the Commons, I think it was the Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee chair claimed that FIFA had kind of overlooked the FAI wearing the jersey featuring the badge bearing the official logo of the 100th anniversary of the Rising during a friendly against Switzerland back in March. And there's a big hoo-ha about that. And somebody saying, the Irish team are going to be fined. And somebody said, yeah, it's going to be 5 million. You know about the 5 million. But I was thinking, haven't England got the flag of St. George on their kit? Hasn't Scotland got the flag of St. Andrew? And what about Malta? The Maltese cross? Are they not religious symbols of some kind? Are they? Has anybody said anything about this? Have they been overlooked, do you think?
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. It's Saturday. It's the Mooney Show. Time to play Mooney's Saturday Night Quiz.
You've heard it, it's Saturday. It's the Mooney. Time to Sinead Renshaw is our scrutineer today. Sinead, what
Derek,
is the prize, please?
The prize is fantastic. It is a two-night stay, bed and breakfast for two people, including dinner on an evening of their choice at the beautiful Flynn family-owned Park Hotel in Dungarvan. It's all to celebrate Flynn Hotel's Christmas 3 package of two nights bed and breakfast, dinner on one evening and a third night free available at any of the four Flynn hotels. So the Park Hotel in Dungarvan. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Have you
hotel.
Been there?
I've passed by it. Unfortunately, I haven't been in. But
you've never been inside the gates, no?
Not yet. Not yet.
I wouldn't let the likes of you in, Sinead. You'd have to enter the quiz
be
under
a certain class
a
to get
pseudonym.
In. Exactly. Gosh. I
oh
don't know
God.
If I get through the questions.
Who's player
anyway,
number one?
Player number one today is Steve Foster from Donnymead in Dublin.
Hello, Steve. How are you today?
Good evening, Derek. How are you, sir?
Great. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a resident in Dublin now, 17 years, married, two kids. Avid blues fan, Leeds fan for my troubles and my sins.
Oh, you're a Ram.
A Ram?
Yeah, haven't they got a Ram on their jersey? The
no,
Leeds?
No, it's a shield at the moment, but we used to have a peacock many years ago.
Who has the Ram on there?
Derby.
Oh, Derby County
yeah.
have it. Derby, that's Derby, right. Derby County
yeah.
have it. That's right, yeah. But is their kit white, though?
We are all white, yeah.
But is Derby white?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
White, I think
well,
shop.
Now you can understand my total confusion.
Ah, this is it.
So you had a peacock? Why was there a peacock on the Leeds jersey?
I'm not too sure, to be quite honest with you, Derek. It was just there for a while, and then just down the years, the badges changed and the kits changed.
Oh yeah.
And now it's just like a shield. It's just.
Listen, yeah. Never mind all this hoo-ha. Do you know what's just popped back into my mind? By the way, if anybody knows why there's a peacock on the Leeds jersey, text 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie. Never mind all the hoo-ha, the FIFA ruling about political, religious, any of those symbols. What about the orange Republic of Ireland soccer kit? Does anybody remember that? Which Ireland only wore for one game.
Yeah, this thing by FIFA, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, I should think they have more pressing matters in-house to worry about than, you know, a team wearing a poppy or us wearing the symbol for the, you know, commemoration.
I know. Like, I mean, you can't do anything in Europe nowadays, can you?
No.
You have to get permission to do everything.
Well, this is it.
You have to get permission to sneeze.
Indeed.
Which is one of the questions on the quizzes today. So what if we get that far? Anyway, so you've got lovely kids. What are their names?
Sam, he's 5. And Amy is 15.
Okay, and you're working away yourself now?
I am indeed, yeah. I work in a warehouse. I'm a warehouse manager.
A warehouse manager, okay. Who's it for?
It's a company called Pitney Bowes. We do office equipment and mailing machines.
Mailing machines?
Yeah. You know the old Franken machines?
Who uses those anymore? Do we still have them in RT? There used to be an RT.
I do believe you still have one of ours in your post room.
Oh, I suppose you have the post room, yeah. Because see, everything is sent on email nowadays.
Well, this is it. So if you need any inks or labels, Derek, I'm your man.
Well, anyway, it's good to talk to you. Somebody else has been on to say, Mark, also the Star of David, FIFA's ruling is just plain daft. Nation states are, by definition, political entities. The Star of David is there as well, I suppose. Anyway, we've got 60 seconds on the clock for you to answer as many questions correctly as you possibly can. And if you don't know the answer, say pass, and then we can get on to the next one. And Sinead will be on hand to tell you whether you're right or wrong. I wish you the best of luck.
Your time starts
now. What animal is the star of the movie Babe?
Pig.
What is Eric Clapton's main instrument?
Guitar.
Who's the first minister of Northern Ireland?
Arlene Foster.
Name this Kenny Rogers song. You got
to know The Gambler.
Which sport is associated with the movie Cool Runnings?
Bobsleighing.
Americans call them suspenders. What do we call them?
Suspenders. Pass.
Who wrote The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas?
Pass.
Name this political personality.
We're going to have an open discussion. We're going to push each other hard.
Barack Obama.
What's the main ingredient in guacamole?
Avocado.
What was South American revolutionary Che Guevara's first name?
Pass.
The lead singer of which band wrote the opening theme tune to the Channel 4 comedy series Father Ted?
Divine Comedy, Neil Hannon.
What is Ireland's largest carnivore?
Pass.
Which is the world's deepest sea?
Pass, sorry.
What are used as mallets in Alice in Wonderland croquet?
The flamingos.
All right, well done. I thought that was a very hard question about Che Guevara. I mean, who's going to know? Nobody's going to know the answer to that. Did you set these questions, mate?
I didn't.
Who set them? Blame them quickly. Was
I
it the
have
boss?
To confess, I did know that one because there's a movie about him a few years ago.
All right, okay.
Other than that.
If you didn't see the movie, you'd be in the dark. All right, hang on there. Don't hang up. Let's move on to player number 2. Thank you very much indeed. That was Steve Foster from Donegal in Dublin, originally from Leeds.
And player number 2 is Mary Scally from Grange in Cork City.
Mary, how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Derek.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, please.
I'm a mother of 3. I live in Grange in Cork City. And I'm standing at my kitchen sink.
No. Well, they used to say that's where most people listen to the radio, standing at the kitchen sink. So tell me, are you working? Are you part-time?
Yes,
you...
I work for a small local newspaper.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
It's called the Carrigdown. It's based in Carrigaline.
The Carrig what?
Carrigaline.
No, what's the name of the newspaper?
Carrigdown.
Carrigdown. Mm-hmm. All right, so hello to everybody in Carrigdown. How often is it distributed?
Once a week.
Once a week. Let's see if they'll be reading about you next week. You have 60 seconds on the clock. Yeah, I can see it now. Shock horror. You know, that like you probably got the questions in advance and it was all rigged or something like that. Sure, like the presidential election in the States. Isn't that what Donald Trump keeps claiming? Anyway, 60 seconds on the clock, starting from now. What animal is the star of the movie Lassie?
A dog.
What is Ringo Starr's main instrument?
Drums.
Who's the first Minister of Scotland?
Nicola Sturgeon.
Name this Kenny Rogers song. Promise me,
son, not to do pass.
What sport is associated with the movie Million Dollar Baby?
Boxing.
Americans call it the trunk. What do we call it?
The pass.
Who wrote The Godfather?
Mario Puzo.
Name this political personality.
Despite our hard-fought primary...
Clinton.
What type of fungus is used in making bread and beer?
Yeast.
What was Mexican revolutionary Pancho's last name?
Panza.
Which late broadcaster and astronomer was once curator of Armagh Observatory?
Patrick Moore.
Which chromosome determines the sex of a baby, X or Y?
Y.
According to the proverb, what is Tuesday's child?
Full of grace.
What is celebrated on the fourth Sunday in Lent?
Pass.
What's the only planet not named after a classical god?
The only planet not named after a classical god?
Yep.
Pluto?
All right, thank you very much indeed for that. Hang on, don't hang up, Mary Scally from The Grange in Cork City, and she works for the local newspaper down there. All right, who's number three, Sinead?
Our final player today is Aisling Clark from Blackwater in County Wexford.
Aisling, how are you getting on today?
Hi, Derek, I'm very good. How are you?
Very nice to talk to you. Any plans for this evening? Are you going anywhere nice?
No, I just have the girls over now for a few glasses of wine.
Oh, it's going to be a bit like Gogglebox. You're going to sit and watch the telly?
That's exactly what we're going to be doing, yeah.
Oh, I can see you there commenting on how they look, how they don't look, whether they're good, whether they're bad. Oh, well, and listen, I wish you the best. Have a lovely night in. We're against the clock ourselves, so your 60 seconds starts now. What animal is the star of the movie Bambi?
Deer.
What is Stevie Wonder's main instrument?
Piano.
Who's the UK Prime Minister?
Oh, Theresa May.
Name this Kenny Rogers song. With four hungry children,
crops in the field. Pass.
What sport is associated with the movie Jerry Maguire?
Baseball.
Americans call them chips. What do we call them?
Crisps.
Who wrote The Da Vinci Code?
Oh, Dan Brown.
Can you name this political personality?
It's incredible. My life was so simple. I had a beautiful, simple life.
Donald Trump.
What flower is the spice saffron taken from?
Pass.
Which Plunkett was the leader of the Easter Rising in Ireland?
Oh, pass.
In 2001, Irish troops vacated Camp Shamrock, ending more than two decades of peacekeeping duty in which country?
Pass.
Which is the biggest landmass? You can answer it now. Iceland or Ireland? Which is bigger?
Iceland.
Iceland, you say? We'll find out if you're right after this break.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Sinead.
Derek, Steve Foster from Dunweed in Dublin via Leeds was our first player today. The ones that he got wrong or passed on. Americans call them suspenders. What do we call them? The answer is braces. And who wrote The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas was John Boyne. The South American revolutionary Che Guevara, his first name was Ernesto.
Yeah, like the whole country knew that one.
Ireland's largest carnivore is the badger, and the world's deepest sea is the Caribbean. So with a score of 9 out of 13, that was player one, Steve Foster. Player two, Mary Scally. The ones that she got wrong, Americans call it the trunk. What do we call it? The boot. The Kenny Rogers song was Coward of the County. And let me see, what's celebrated on the fourth Sunday in Lent is Mothering Sunday. And the only planet not named after a classical god was Earth. So, and the Mexican revolutionary Pancho's last name was Villa. So with a score of 10 out of 16, that is Mary Scally. And finally, Aisling Clark from Blackwater in County Wexford. The Kenny Rogers song that we played for her was Lucille. The sport associated with the movie Jerry Maguire was Baseball. The flower that spice saffron was taken from is the crocus. Joseph Plunkett was the leader of the Easter Rising in Ireland. And in 2002, Irish troops vacated Camp Shamrock, which is in Lebanon.
Yeah, and that was American football. And the winner is...
And the winner is... Mary Scally from Grange in Cork City.
Mary, well done to you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're going off. You're going to have a great time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to all our players. Bye. Just going to leave you with this. What a lovely person Belle is. She is full of goodness, and her moving story of her pain on the loss of her beloved dog touched my heart, reminding me of our beloved King Charles, who passed in 2006 with heart failure. It's nice to know the wealth of love we give and get from our pets is shared by us. Thank you for a lovely interview, says Dimpna in Limerick. Thank you, Dimpna, for listening. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you, Sinead, Dana, our producer, and Garda Fionn Sam. We'll do it all again in a few weeks' time. We're taking a little break because sport will be in here for the next 2 weeks, but do visit the website. I'm at the website rte.ie/Mooney. Have a lovely weekend. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.